line.
It's his phone.
It's not my phone. Hey, guys, we're arguing about whose phone pings the most. That's definitely his. Mine stays on airplane mode half the time when I'm over here. Unless I have to sift some
weight. If you hear pinging, mine is turned off.
His phone is pinging. Anyways, welcome to the worldwide broadcast, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And the news we got going on today, a lot of different things that are happening right now.
John Parvin said, my attorney, can you please turn off the pinging?
Yours is the pinging one.
He says, my pinging's silent. Pinging's driving us all crazy.
Well, I think the problem is these mics are really good. They pick up real high frequency, like the tinging in the glass.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get on that with the GHI scoops. That's why the shakers are so
Oh, by
crazy.
The way, this is chocolate fit food protein with a purple stick. I'm doing that stack that Austin talked about yesterday.
I'm like four scoops of protein. I didn't get my eggs this morning.
I got my eggs.
Did you? I didn't get eggs this morning.
But I got a funny article.
What's your first this article?
Is funny. Yeah, this is hilarious, and it's got a couple crude comments in it. So,
where are we going with this morning?
No, it's funny. It's funny. It's from Activist Post, and it says Epstein's Island shut down and gaslit while they're distracting with the MLK files and the Obama arrest psyop because they're never going to arrest his former president.
Heck no!
And then and he starts off with this by Jeff Berwick, and he goes, "You can do it." Epstein was a junior high school teacher, and Trump was an actor and a wrestler. Zelensky was an actor-dancer, liked to play the piano, nude. Bill Gates, the one who wants to kill the whole planet, was a college dropout. As billionaires, and all they do is sell their soul like Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, Prince of Darkness, who bragged about his lethal injection a few years ago, and now the Grim Reaper has stabbed him to rip off some more bat heads for Satan's entertainment. Of course, can you please stop shaking that? Thank you. Of course, they will all have friends in high places or really low places if you believe in the depths of hell. Like Andrew, the real Prince of Darkness, whose sex offender record was suddenly wiped clean. And I give you one guest who introduced Jeffrey Epstein to Alan Dershowitz, both Trump and Epstein's lawyer, and the mensch you currently lobbying to get Ghislaine Maxwell released, Lord Lady Rothschild. Lord and Lady Rothschild. Of course, the hoax and gaslighting continues. Not only is it being perpetrated by Barry Suwarto, this is Barack Obama, also known as Barack Drone Bomber, and a.k.a. known as Big Mike's Biatch this time.
Gosh, did you say that?
I kind of used a different word, but that's what he says. Big Mike, that's his according to John
husband.
Rivers, his husband. Despite Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard releasing overwhelming evidence of an Obama-led conspiracy to orchestrate a coup against Trump, we have been assured that nothing will come of it because the Trump administration has a moral responsibility to protect the innocent victims of Epstein by not unmasking the pedophiles, gaslighting 101. That is, until September, when we can expect Pam Bondi and Kash Patel to release a second edition of heavily redacted files to the Trump loyalists.
Yep.
Actually, they'll probably be completely bogus files. But by then, no one will even remember or even care about Epstein because we'll either be in the middle of a great war or the great financial collapse or some other evil they're cooking up. Anyway, if the maggots need more incentive to get over their obsession with Epstein's client list, I suggest you look through the 200,000 pages of stuff we already know about Martin Luther King. Or we can do the dance again and make it rain with Alexandra Cortez, who just announced that she, too, is of Jewish origin. Or just rejoice that Supreme Leader Trump is now going to put cane sugar back in Coke, or follow the weather patterns because that should take you right off the Epstein gate into why can't they do anything that's right? The answer, nothing, except take your soul if you're connected to God. We are fighting a spiritual war right now, and you're wasting your days in front of the TV or wasting away at the hand of physical and mental temptations. You are becoming more and more ill-equipped, unprepared, or simply not aware of what we're up against or who the real enemy is. It's only when our body and our mind and soul are open and ready to receive that you will triumph, as shown by some of the most amazing testimonials. And, you know, and what he's saying is this. This circus clown show that we're having right now with the world, it's all about stealing your soul. That's what it is. And that's why we talk about God all the time on this show. We talk about Jesus all the time on this show because we want you guys to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I cover this in Angel Wars. God is such a good God that he recreated the heavens, the earth, you know, after the fall of Lucifer, and basically allowed himself to become Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, in a man's form and die on a cross for us to bring us back to him. That's how good God is. The problem is these guys who run the planet, because we're basically in Satan's realm right now, don't want us to know who Christ is. That's why we have like the Tower of Babel we talked about at Angel Wars, over 2,000 different religions in the world, because they're trying to dilute what we have with God through Christ. So it's very important. This guy's right. These guys who are basically put out here in front of us are all stage actors, and we're like at a theater show that the whole universe is watching, and these clowns are telling us what they want us to know and what they want us to hear, but they never tell us the real facts, Austin.
No, that's exactly right. And this is a funny, interesting topic. Speaking of clowns, FEMA now, the Trump administration has now directed that FEMA cannot give any type of funds to any states unless they declare they won't sever commercial relations specifically with Israeli companies. So if you talk bad about the golden calf, or you say something you're not supposed to about them, or you sever relations with them, you no longer get disaster funds. But wait, they got enough blowback that suddenly, 12 hours later, U.S. reverses its pledge to link disaster funds to Israeli boycott stance, because they got eviscerated yesterday. Social media was not nice to the Trump administration. What's ironic is nobody even talked about this in most of the mainstream topics at all. FEMA quietly came out and they said, well, we've got like $1.9 billion in emergency funds for certain states to help out with disaster relief, because they've had basically these huge storms. They've had these huge washouts. They've had these huge flash floods. And if they do not continually do business with Israel, or they boycott anything with Israel, we're holding all the disaster relief funds because, well, you know, it's Israel first. Well, America first. I don't know what that concept is. It's Israel first of all times.
You know, you were in that Assemblies of God church last July the 4th.
I was in Assemblies of God church for years.
And you'd given a lot of tithe money to that church. And I remember they said
were baptized at that
church. And they said that if it wasn't for Israel, the United States wouldn't even be here.
No, loosely quoted, it was on a July 4th, one of the biggest July 4th services I've ever witnessed.
It was a year ago.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Flags. I mean, it was a bit, the music was great. The whole first 30, 40 minutes was, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool inside the church. And then, of course, the pastor got up there, and within, I don't know, probably 5 to 6 minutes, went from July 4th and the history of July 4th and the Revolutionary War to tying it somehow. I still haven't figured out how he did this, because he did it smooth, but I don't know how he did it, so I don't want to listen to it again. Tied in the fact that the only reason, loosely quoting, the only reason the United States is the United States is because we have continually supported Israel through everything and anything at any cost, no matter what they say, no matter what they do. They tell us to jump. We say how high, and we never question anything they do at any point in time.
You know, it's crazy.
And I got up and left.
We were like 150 years before Israel became a nation.
That's my point. And I remember there are multiple veterans walked out of the hall.
So many people died before that happened.
Many.
Including World War One and World War II.
Yeah.
And the Civil War.
I remember I'm standing out in the hall, and there's multiple guys out there, and everybody's you can tell they're physically strong. I talked to one guy, I mean, he was a veteran. He'd done like 4 tours in the military for like 8 years. We start talking, and he goes, what the heck is this? And he goes, I don't know. I said, I wish I could have an answer for you. He goes, do you know how insulting this is to all of us? To everyone who's died for this country, or everyone who's fought and bled for this country? We're saying now the only reason we have July 4th in this country is because Israel basically deemed it so. And I said, I hate to bust everybody's bubble that's listening to this. 1776 was a long time before Israel ever did anything, ever, at any point. And as far as with the United States.
Well, the British royal family, about 1820, decided they wanted to basically get Palestine back and become Israel again, because they'd been taken over by the Rothschild banking cartel.
Yes.
Because of the Napoleonic Wars. But we could do another. We've done a whole show on that before.
That has nothing to do with the success of the United States.
This Chuck Baldwin wrote this, and it's a good article. I've got it posted. It is the Epstein case that is creating the cracks in the lie of Christian Zionism.
That's probably accurate.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
You know, Boss and I covered this just the other day. Make no mistake about it. The Epstein pedophile network and the Israeli genocidal wars in the Middle East are linked. The reason the ruling class in Washington, D.C. and New York City are so determined to support Israel, no matter how demonic its actions may be, are directly to Epstein's Mossad's blackmail campaigns. And the members of Congress are not blackmailed into submission by the Mossad or bribed into submission by AIPAC.
Ooh.
That's the American Israeli Political Action Fund. Americans put Trump in office because they saw the filth and corruption of Washington. They thought Trump was truly different. Now they're awakening to the truth that Trump has been neck deep in Israel's corrupting clutches all along, and they are also now seeing that Israel for the vile, demonic state that it's always been. The truth about Epstein, the truth about Israel, the truth about Mossad, the truth about Netanyahu, the truth about Congress, the truth about Trump, the truth about the Schofield dispensationalism is now beginning to shine through the cracks of Christian Zionism. From Candace Owens to Ted Dawson Brower Show, I'm adding that, to Clayton Morris, to Tucker Carlson, to Pierce Morgan, to Joe Rogan, to Larry Johnson, to Max Blumenthal, to Judge Andrew Napolitano, they're all courageously saying that this is something that is a giant deception of Christian Zionism. And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys read the rest of this stuff, but it's very, 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 very good that you can read through it. But, you know, and I said this the other day, and I talked about it yesterday in Austin with the office, is that, you know, because of what they've done, bringing in cultural Marxism into the United States because of the Frankfurt School, because of them coming in and destroying the fabric of our society, they've destroyed their own work that they did on the Schofield Reference Bible and pushing the Zionism to the staff and the people of the United States. Because like Austin said, people are getting tired of it. They're getting up and walking out of churches now and saying, we're not going to deal with this anymore. And so what's happened is, because of that, people are waking up to what Israel is. It's an apartheid state. And, you know, basically all Gaza is a giant concentration camp that are now being starved to death, by the way. And, you know, and Netanyahu's doing it. And, you know, it's so funny to me. And here's the irony of all of this stuff. And I'm not picking on the Jews that were in concentration camps in Germany at all. There were a lot of Jews in concentration camps. There were a lot of Germans in concentration camps. There were a lot of political dissidents in concentration camps, including you know, Bonhoeffer.
And let's clarify this, man. War is hell. Every single conflict we've ever experienced, we've ever seen, has always had enormous atrocities. Not discounting any of them or making any of them worse than the other. They've all been horrific.
But let's stop for one second. Let's drop this notch back. In Germany, the rails were bombed. Germany was being starved during World War I and World War II. And now you've got millions of prisoners in concentration camps. They can't get food to the prisoners. There's very little food left. And the rails are bombed as far as getting the food to the concentration camps. And so the people start starving in the concentration camps. That's fact. That happened. The people are starving in Gaza, and the rails aren't bombed, Austin.
No.
Israel's stopping the food supply that's going into there.
Has been.
They're stopping, and they're starving the people in Gaza, trying to get them to move out and get out. Here's the problem I've got with all of this stuff. They sit here and they constantly run the Holocaust, which killed a lot of people, in front of everybody as a narrative. But then they turn right around and do the exact same thing to the people in Gaza, except for they have plenty of food in the supply lines because the world is trying to feed Gaza, but Israel stops it. Now think about that for a second, what I just said. Germany couldn't feed the prisoners because they didn't have the food because the rails were bombed. It was horrible. We have the food to feed Gaza, but we're not allowed to do it. But yet, who's talking about this? It's horrible what they've done. And Christian Zionism and basically the undying pledge of loyalty from Christians to Israel is coming to a screeching abrupt halt because people are beginning to realize, like Chuck Baldwin said, what a mess this is over in Israel. Number one homosexual destination in the world. A few years ago, they had a big gay parade over there. They had 400, before all this war stuff started over there, they had 450,000 gays show up. Number one homosexual destination in the world, Tel Aviv. And, you know, bars and brothels, sex with animals, with children, all kinds of crazy stuff over there. And yet we as Christians are supposed to support this and not say anything about it. This is a mess. This is a real, real mess. And I'm so glad that Chuck Baldwin wrote this. The fall of the Israeli lobby and the fall of Christian Zionism has begun. And he said he hopes to see it completely collapse before the end of his lifetime. And I agree with Chuck because enough people are telling the truth. What do you think?
Well, and what's happened now is, too, is that so many people have gotten so sick of this narrative. That's why the DEI narrative has completely collapsed. Now, one thing I do have to say, the positive that Trump did, if you remember when he first got in the administration, he went in and basically blocked all these DEI mandates. He did that immediately because what happens, everybody's gotten sick of this crap because nobody's supporting it. I mean, when you have Bud Light decides they're going to put a tranny kid, boy, girl, whatever he wanted to be on the Bud Light can, completely backfired. That's why this whole thing with this Sweeney girl has blown up now.
Look at this. Give me the center camera, Rich.
What was that? Oh, yeah, she's on everything.
Sweeney.
Now.
Lead story on Drudge is Sweeney. We covered it yesterday. Yeah. We got it before Drudge.
Yeah, that's
lead story.
And what's funny about it is it shows you, because remember, I've always said this before, and I feel like some people have never really taken this concept to heart. I've said this for over a decade. Vote with your dollars. The United States population and its enormous amount of cash and the enormous population that we have has the ability to massively change the tide with businesses, with marketing, with behavior, if we all act in unison and support things that we support. When you start seeing things that are that you like, support them. If you see something you don't like, don't support it. This is one of the reasons why I have such a difficult time with people that I know that are staunch Christians, and they talk about being avid patriots, and then they go spend $30,000 at Walt Disney pedophile world for a week. I just went there. I have a real issue with that, because then they want to come back to me and tell me, oh, we need to do this, we need to do this. I said, how about you just kept your $30, your $30,000, you kept it in your pocket, or went to another company, another business, or another theme park that actually at least moderately supported it,
It's like supporting Victoria's Secret after what Les Wexler did with Jeffrey Epstein.
Say it. Les Wexler. It's like supporting Starbucks. When the CEO of Starbucks comes out and says, if you support the Second Amendment, if you want to carry firearms, if you want to exercise that right, we ask you do your business elsewhere. And then those same patriots go, well, I need my Starbucks. I need my $10 coffee because I got to have it.
And how many Starbucks are in churches?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. A lot. Yeah,
almost all Baptist churches.
And so you reach a point where people go, what can I do to change things? Vote with your dollar. Mm-hmm. Stop just running your mouth and actually vote with your pocketbook. There are so many companies now that I won't even touch. I told you guys how much I absolutely am diametrically opposed to Amazon, because a global retail monopoly that's completely taking over the online internet. Completely taking it over. Their infrastructure's taking everything over. But yet, I still know of people that will complain about all these things that are going on. They want to talk about being patriots. Yet they have Amazon on auto order on their entire things they need from their house every single week. And they give half their paycheck to Amazon every month. And I go, well, you want to keep feeding the beast? Well, it doesn't matter. If I don't do it, somebody else will. Well, if you don't do it, somebody else actually takes your advice and they don't do it and somebody else doesn't do it, and all of a sudden you start having millions and millions of people that don't support a certain company, they don't support a certain concept. Oh, all of a sudden they start feeling that. Because one thing the banker boys like, they love their free air and they love taking everybody's money. So if you stop giving money to these companies, it will change the direction of what they're doing. And so you saw that with Bud Light. Bud Light sales, their stocks, everything went to the doggone floor after that tranny stunt. And Bud Light sales are still down to this day, even though they've retracted that whole thing.
There are certain things that you've done and certain things that I've seen from a marketing standpoint that end up being the world's worst decision.
Yeah.
Bud Light was one of the top 10 worst things I've ever seen.
Jaguar was probably the next.
Well, Trump nailed both of them.
When Jaguar came out with their androgynous commercial, where all it was guys and girls that looked like guys and girls. You couldn't tell who anybody was, and there wasn't a single car. The entire video wasn't a single car. The market for Jaguar, and now some of their sales are down, I think, 90%. They're going to go bankrupt.
And you know, I'm going to say it, and I don't mean it. Well, I don't really care how you interpret it. It's just how I feel. You know, I don't care what gay people do. I don't even care what trannies do.
I really don't either.
I don't care.
Not my problem.
But don't tell me that I've got to like it, and don't tell me that I've got to endorse it, and don't tell me that I've got to embrace it. If somebody has
tell me I got to buy it.
No. And don't tell me I've got to associate with it. Don't tell me that I've got to support it, because I'm not going to. You know, now I have just as much rights as they do as far as saying what I feel about how they act as they do saying about how I act as a Christian.
That's a fact.
Am I right or wrong?
That is kind of the irony that we watch now with this double-sided narrative.
They slam Christian churches because they speak, well, the few churches that still speak against homosexuality, but you know, a lot of them have embraced it now, put rainbows all over their doggone entry pillars. But the few churches that basically say you shouldn't be doing this, is against God's word, you know, they slam them. But then if the church comes back and says, well, this is against God's word, oh, you can't say that, you're a homophobe. Not a homophobe. It's just a God created us Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's just the way it works. You know, if everybody goes gay on the whole planet in one generation, we're extinct.
We cease to exist.
Does that not get a concept? That so this is not okay. This is not part of the right way of doing things. And so, but if you want to do that, if you want to be that person that wants to do that, that's your choice. But don't tell me that I've got to endorse it. Don't tell me that I've got to embrace it. Don't tell me that I've got to support it. I'm being repetitive now, but I'm doing it on purpose. And the same thing, if they don't want to be a Christian, don't be a Christian. That's your call.
It's a choice.
Everybody's got a choice. Like the Jewish voters in New York, a lot of them are backing the Muslim candidate.
Oh,
this
really?
This is a New York Times article I'm reading right now. It says, many Jewish voters back Mamdani, and many agree with him on Gaza. Ah,
That's where it's starting to hit a point now.
Even the Jewish voters are sick of it. Because they, and here's why the Jewish voters are sick of it. Because a lot of the Jewish voters are very, very opposed to what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing in Gaza.
That's true.
Okay, not all Jews like this. And so they realize that when he does stuff like this, it affects all Jews globally.
Well, it does, because it puts a spotlight as them as a whole. What? A lot of them are going, we're not supporting this.
We don't want to do this.
We don't want to starve
everybody out. I've got a friend of mine who's Jewish. He's a pilot. Great guy. He's absolutely diametrically opposed to all of this mess. And you think, well, he's Jewish. It doesn't mean he has to like this stuff. He doesn't like it. Let me read you this article. It says, Zafran Mahami won over the Jewish voters in New York City who were energized by his economic agenda and unbothered by or sympathetic to his views on Israel and Gaza. Ben Sadoff knocked off roughly 1,000 doors as a canvasser for Mahami, mayoral primary candidate in New York. Because one thing did not frequently mention was Israel, he said, and when voters, including Jewish ones, did bring it up, their comments were focused on their anguish over Israel's war in Gaza, where starvation is spreading and about 60,000 people have been killed. It's actually closer to 200,000, in my opinion. I think this campaign was really shown as something that we have known for a while, said Sadoff, who is Jewish and works as a bike mechanic in Manhattan. There are a million Jews and New Yorkers who have wide-ranging opinions of all kinds of issues. Mr. Mahdami's commanding victory in the Democratic primary for mayor alarmed many Jews who are concerned by his outspoken criticism of Israel. But he won the votes of many other Jews. New Yorkers, some of them said in his interviews that they were unbothered by that criticism, inspired by his intense focus on affordability. Often these voters said that Mr. Mahdami's views on Israel and his political opposition to treatment of Palestinians echoed their own. Mr. Mahdami has criticized Israel in ways that were once unthinkable for an elected official in New York, home to America's largest Jewish population. He has decried Israel as an apartheid state. Didn't I just say that, Austin?
Yep.
He has said that it should ensure equal rights for all followers of all religions instead of favoring Jews in its political and legal systems and immigration standings. He has supported the movement that seeks to economically isolate it, known as boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel. Now, here's what's going on. Why do you think they tried to tie this to FEMA funds yesterday? Because everybody's starting to wake up and said, well, you know what? How about we just don't support Israel? Well, you can't do that. You won't get FEMA money. You can't do that. You won't get support. Why? Because Jews control Congress through AIPAC. Chuck Baldwin just said it. The ones who aren't Christian Zionists are being controlled through AIPAC through funding. So all of this stuff is very, very real. It's coming out in the head now. And I like Tucker Carlson, what he said. Just because I don't agree with what Israel does doesn't mean that I'm a doggone anti-Semite.
Absolutely not.
And he endorsed the views of Israel's leading human rights organizations and genocide scholars, including some in Israel, that is committing genocide in Gaza, an allegation that the Israeli government has denied. Wait a minute. You're blocking food, you're bombing hospitals, and you're machine-gunning children, and you don't call it genocide? Well, what would you call it?
Yeah.
I'm curious. Let me ask you, what do you call it? When you go in and kill women and children in hospitals, bomb hospitals, and basically starve the people to death, if that's not genocide, what is it? It's difficult to determine how many Jewish voters support Mr. Mahdami, even because in New York, the Jewish population is too small to be measured with precision in most polls. There's a million people there that are Jewish. I don't know why they say that. Neighborhoods with large numbers of Orthodox Jews, residents voted overwhelmingly for Mr. Cuomo. He also won other heavily Jewish areas like Riverdale and the Bronx. But Mr. Mahdami enjoyed a broad victory that suggests at least some backing by many different constituencies. You know, it's funny to me because, I mean, it just if you stop and you look at this, I'm going to go ahead and post this. You can read it. But, you know, I never thought I'd read from the New York Times on the show. But it's telling the truth that not everybody who is Jewish is supporting Israel. And that's the same thing that's happening with Christian Zionism now, Austin. People are doing exactly what you did. They're getting up and walking out of churches and saying, I'm not going to support this.
Well, here's the thing, man. I'm all about, as far as from a Christian basis, I'm all about trying to, you know, pray for individuals, support somebody who needs help, try to take somebody and say, hey, you need some help with this, I got your back. But what I have a problem is when you start having people that are acting unbelievably egregious and against the word of God, completely diametrically opposed to Christian beliefs, and then they say, if you say something against me, if you do anything against me, you're now an anti-Semite.
And you're cursed.
And you basically need to go somewhere else because you're not going to be able to do anything here. We're not going to allow you to do anything, and we're not going to allow you to
happen. You know what it reminds me of? Gays.
No, it's worse than that now.
No, listen to this. I'm already covered the thing with gay a minute ago. But it's the same thing now. If you say anything about the gays, you're anti-gay. Okay? You're basically a bigot. Okay? Remember, anytime you oppose somebody else's values, they say you're a bigot. Something's wrong with you. If you oppose pedophilia, you're a bigot against pedophiles, which I am a bigot against pedophiles. But the reality is that now it's because of AIPAC, and it's because of what they've done with these different lobbies. Because what they do, they come in, and anytime you say anything against their organization, they jump in the media and they start calling you names.
That's exactly right.
Okay? You're anti-gay. You're anti-Jew. You're anti-Semite. And you're like, no, I'm not. I'm just saying that I don't like what Israel's doing in Gaza. They're starving children and women and Christians in Gaza. They're not all, by the way, they're not all Muslims in Gaza. They've already killed a bunch of Christians over there, too. So I don't like any of this stuff. Well, that means you're an anti-Semite. No, it doesn't. That means I don't like it. Why would I like the destruction of people's families and homes and children? And I don't like any of that stuff. And by the way, if you're a Christian, that's you guys that are listening, you shouldn't like it either. We're supposed to love one another. That's the difference between us and almost every other religion. They'll know that you are disciples because you love one another, is what Jesus said, Austin. And so we got to understand this. If we continue just to support the genocide in Gaza, or genocide anywhere, any place in the world, is that a Christian value? No, it's not at all. So is that, but you can't say anything about this in Israel because, you know, you'll be cursed. Wait a minute. What about all the Christians in Gaza that are being machine gunned? Are we not going to support them? I mean, this is not okay, Austin. I don't like any of this.
It's not. Well, switching gears, though, my awesome brother wrote an article here. I want you guys to look at this. Everybody's asking me about the brain and body restart kit. The Say No to Brain Fog. He wrote a great article covering this the other day. It says, clear the mental haze, support focus with GHI cleanse and magnesium brain food. Step one, reset your system with GHI. Step two, nourish your brain daily with magnesium brain food. Pull it up. I thought I had the screen up. And so you could go through here and actually look at a lot of the topics in the discussions on this, why the stack works better together. He's got a bunch of references on it, on the magnesium thionate and the GHI cleanse, and why these two work so good in a very clear, concise article here. Because a lot of times you guys ask me on, we put stuff together, you guys want to know how stuff works. We break it down for you on the show, but he's really good at putting all kinds of articles together and references on all this
stuff.
One
of the best writers I've ever seen.
And so this goes into short, very short, but very direct essential information on what's going on with this and why it works so good as far as getting the chronic stress under control, getting inflammation, getting the gut imbalance done, getting toxin buildup out of your body, and getting nutrients in your system. And so, because this has been a very popular stack since I put it together, because everybody's been asking about it, includes one of the shakers that we have for free, along with the GHI cleanse and the magnesium brain food. I don't have a GHI cleanse here. I got Fit Food today.
I have it in the house. I made a shake with it.
Did you?
I did.
I'm on a Fit Food kick again today. But so again, this is something that really helps out with brain fog, really helps out with energy, because I've told so many people this before. Before you can really start losing body fat, before you can really start getting in shape, you've got to get your body detoxed and you've got to get the inflammation response down. That means you've got to get the bad foods and the preservatives out of your diet. And you've got to get your inflammation down, meaning your joints, your organs, your stomach, because you've got to be able to digest and assimilate and absorb all the nutrients so you can recover properly, so you can build muscle tissue back, so you can burn body fat. Because remember, when you burn body fat, it excretes out the kidneys. If your liver and your kidneys are already all plugged up and inflamed and toxic, it's very difficult to burn body fat. So getting your body reset and getting it under control, you've got to be able to do that when you start really starting to get back in shape and losing weight.
You're absolutely right. If you don't have your liver clean, you're going to have some problems. You're going to feel sluggish all the time, too, with a plugged up liver.
Well, and then when your liver's going to cause issues with the pancreas, isn't going to produce proper enzymes and needs to. You're going to start having issues with insulin and everything else. And you start getting, you know, syndrome X. Then you're really not going to burn body fat. And so all those things are really important. And then if you're really trying to get your blood sugar control, if you're fighting that, the berberine and cinnamon extract, those two together right there, that'll really
start. I take berberine every night.
Yeah, that'll start melting body fat. And if you have an issue with thyroid, the thyroid support, you know, you got about four or five products there that will just absolutely melt like fat like butter in a microwave if you handle it correctly.
You know, I've got a question to ask everybody. We're going to talk about the Earth's rotation will mysteriously speed up tomorrow.
Really? We're going to go with flat Earth theory today?
No, I didn't say that.
I think that's where we're going with this today.
Where'd that come from? Flat Earth.
Oh, where'd it come from?
You know, when I'm landing an airplane, you know, the Earth's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, right? I remember, you know, I remember I'm having to chase the runway trying to catch it. And but of course, I don't really understand that because it's moving faster than I can move. But they're saying now the Earth's rotation will mysteriously speed up tomorrow as scientists contemplate an unprecedented move. Now, again, this is more justification on what they want you to believe. Scientists have warned the Earth's rotation is set to speed up on Tuesday. That was yesterday.
How fast are we speeding up to?
Oh, they're scaring us now. The change driven by the moon's gravitational pull caused the planet to spin faster at its poles, shaving off 1.25 milliseconds in a day.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when I read stuff like this, when I read stuff like this, it's just kind of like, I have to ask the question, why is it that the precession of the equinox never changes? I
mean, why is this even making? Do you know how difficult it is to even measure 1 millisecond?
1.25 milliseconds.
You know how difficult that is to even measure that?
I promise you'll not feel it.
You will not feel it. But you know what we could do? Here's what we could do. This is, I got the perfect example. Perfect thing to do. We start fining the world with a super speeder law. We have to tax everybody. If we tax everybody with a super speeder law, it'll fix the global warming problem that's allegedly coming.
Well, yeah. they've got now another state has come in now, and they have said that if you drive even 1 mile an hour under the speed limit, you're going to get fined.
One under? Hmm? What state is this?
This you got to love this one. I got to find it.
Must be Montana or Texas.
No, I think it's like Arkansas or someplace like that. But I'll find it in a second.
That's something Montana would do.
They've already pulled it off of Drudge. But you know, I got a big kick out of that because I thought to myself, you know, at least somebody's addressing the fact that what we talked about, how people get that left-hand lane and, you know.
Well, the thing, I went off on it the other day, and here's the issue that I have. This arbitrary number that they suddenly come up with, by the way, which was decades ago, was also based on vehicles that had much, much, much worse safety ratings. Right. A lot of the vehicles that were on the road when they had the 60 and 70 mile an hour put into place, they had like one airbag in the car, like the driver's airbag. They didn't even have seat belts that basically had the CO2 that exploded them that popped. They didn't have anything. And so now it's like vehicles have advanced, vehicles have gotten faster, vehicles have gotten stronger, vehicles have gotten safer. And then you have certain aspects of the roadways that work fantastic on the Autobahn, which I've been on, it works very successfully. Then they come in now and say, oh, if you're doing X amount over the speed limit now, we're taking you straight to jail for 30 days. We're impounding your car. We're fining you. You do it a second time, you're losing your license, and you're going to jail for 60 days. And then they come in, and I'm not getting into it again, but it's just,
you know, the other day we had the lizard on the hood.
He had a ride,
bro. We forgot. I named him.
Did you for the ride?
Yeah, his name was Fred.
Fred the lizard. Fred. He stuck with you for a while.
He did, but Fred's not dead.
I don't think Fred's dead. Lizards are pretty resilient. I mean, they made it through the flood. Look at the gators we've got now. And speaking of gators now, this is funny. Did you see that video?
You got to see this.
Got to pull it back up again.
Gator in a seatbelt. You're going to love this.
Yes, gator in a seatbelt. Where do you go? I had my gator in a seatbelt. Now I have my, did I lose him? I think I lost him. Let me pull him up here in a second. It was a great video.
Well, there you go. That was a terrible segment.
Well, I had it pulled up. I had it pulled up. Oh, man.
But no, this guy basically has to get, I think he was in a swimming pool, wasn't he? And they had to get him out.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with him. So they had to strap into a seatbelt.
Well, it was just a regular sheriff officer. It wasn't even wildlife control or nothing. And
here we go. I've got a story right here. Florida deputy wrangles gator from a swimming pool, then buckles it up in his back seat of his cruiser. This is a funny story. A deputy hauled in a gator. Okay.
There he is.
The Richards used a pool skimmer to first drag the young gator to the pool's deck before grabbing it by the neck.
Oh, he grabs it by the neck. I mean, gators, I mean, if you know how to handle them, which I'm not, don't do this if you don't know what you do with gators. I've been around them a lot.
That's big enough to take a finger off, boy.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing here. He's handling them good. This is not his first time. And I don't know why the video is buffering. There it goes. But yeah, he doesn't have a place to put him. He's in a cruiser. It's St. John's County Sheriff. See, he tapes his mouth up. And he's got some body cam footage.
This is terrible.
This is funny, though.
It is.
But, yeah, he's putting him in the back of the patrol car. It tapes his mouth up. Doesn't know how to put him in there. So, yeah.
You don't want him jumping around in the car, yeah, so he straps him down.
Those tails, boy. If they get in a mood, those tails will take your legs out. I mean, they'll put you on your butt.
Not that little fellow. He can scratch you up pretty good, though. Look at him. Buckle him in. Buckle up, my little gator friend.
I'm sure he did on body cam footage. That way he can't get mad at him. There's another one, too. There's a big one they were wrestling here.
Oh, that's about a 10-footer, isn't it?
A little bigger than that.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know where that one was.
Oh, well, yeah.
The ads. I'm so sick of the ads.
Well, you know,
God, I'm over
Alex said that we can use a different search engine to get rid of the ads.
I'm about it, dude. I have different search engines on DuckDuckGo and everything.
Well, no, DuckDuckGo, you have to use a different one than that. But you know, you remember years ago when we were over at the Steak and Shake in Winter Haven?
Yeah.
You remember that?
He's about 11 footer.
Well, that's a big boy. Pinellas County.
Pinellas County.
Just think he gets to swim with these things. Don't come to Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have a hard time fitting him in the back of a 6-foot bed.
Oh, yeah. Look at that size of that thing.
Yeah.
Well, but remember the time we found one that they were at the restaurant, running around the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I ran over to grab him, and I put my boot on him, and then he squirmed away and ran under the dumpster.
He was a small one, though.
Yeah, ran under the dumpster.
Little 3-footer, yeah.
We were on the motorcycle. We were in the gold wing.
Well, what you going to do with it? Like, I'm going to give me a gator.
I was going to put him in the back trunk of the gold wing. Take him home.
Put him in the pool?
I don't think so. He probably would have. Well,
they end up in the pool all the time down here.
I don't think he'd have gone to gator heaven, but maybe. I don't know.
I don't think gators go to heaven. They're cold-blooded reptiles, dude. There's no soul in those things.
Say hi to Ozzy.
They're soulless. So stinks. They do one thing, and that's eat.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's it, man.
Yeah, kill and
eat.
Okay, what's your next story about?
There's another story I had pulled up here. Where was it at here? Vaccination rate hits record-breaking low for third year in a row.
This is
as
great.
Religious exemptions reach record high. So we've had a full twist here. We've had a record high of religious exemptions and a record low of vaccination rates. And yet, have you noticed the whole world hasn't come to an end?
Well, it's about 3 or 4%. It needs to be much higher than that.
It's much higher than that. But remember how they say if we don't maintain around 100% vaccination rate, everybody's going to get sick and die.
No, the pediatricians won't make all their money.
That's exactly right.
Can't dumb the population.
Statement
now.
Released on vaccine rates. The CDC said the decision to vaccinate is a personal one. Parents should consult their health providers and options for their family. I actually have to agree with the CDC for one of the first times. That's a quote they've actually said that I agree with. The decision to vaccinate is a personal one. Parents should consult their healthcare providers on options for their families. This is like the first time now they've ever come out. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because this is happening. This is like the first time they've come in and said, it's your choice, personal choice, figure it out. Not, you've got to get your mandated shots or everybody's going to die. This is so stupid.
You know, Austin, I've said that to parents so many times. I will say to them, look, I'm not telling you what to do.
No, I say the same thing all the time.
Do what you want to do. Do the research.
I'm not telling you how to be a parent. I'm not telling you to do the kids.
I've got a friend of mine. He was in the military for years and years and years. And I told him, you know, he's had all these vaccines. And he's unbelievably sick all the time. And I love the guy. He's a great guy. But the problem is, you know, he kind of got a little argument with me the other day. I said, you know, parents need to do the research on these vaccines. Oh, no, they don't. And I'm like, yeah, they do. I mean, it's not that complicated. You're putting something into your child's body that can cause all types of neurological damage, so you might want to mitigate the risks.
It's a foreign object.
Yeah.
It's a foreign item.
Yeah.
Well, figure out what it does to the body.
Well, no. It's simple enough. There's enough articles that are written that are easy to understand that, hey, if you inject aluminum and thimerosal mercury into a child, you're going to cause neurological damage, period.
The rates of autism, the rates of health problems, the rates of autoimmune all go up.
All vaccines are inherently dangerous, period. And that's, that's what they said back in the 80s when they passed that law as far as vaccine compensation.
Yeah.
Remember, if vaccines were safe, they wouldn't have paid out $5 billion in payments to parents whose children have been permanently damaged, and only about 1 out of 100 ever get paid.
So then what you have to do as a parent, you have to look at it from a risk value reward, cost benefit analysis, pros and cons, T-chart, whatever you want to call it. What's the pro? What's the con? Write it on a list. I've done that with so many different options. This is a topic of discussion. Where are the pros? Where are the cons? Real simple, real easy, real simple to understand. Put down the pros. Put down the cons. If the cons outweigh the pros, got an issue. The pros outweigh the cons, there you go. But look at it from a real, true, subjective standpoint and say these are the real topics on the issue. These are the real side effects. These are the real pluses or minuses, and go from there. But don't just blindly go along with something somebody says, because quite frankly, they told everyone the COVID shot was safe and effective. Oh, and by the way, if you didn't get your shot, my shot didn't work. That made a ton of sense.
Well,
Still doesn't make sense.
Don't forget the 666 and have to wear a mask. You know, it's hard to believe we went through that.
Now, that's what was weird about that movie, Eddington, the other day. Like I said, I
couldn't even find it. It was already left.
Oh,
it's
already left. It got hammered. And it was not a bad movie. It had some violent stuff in it, some graphic stuff in it at the end. But it showed you what happened during COVID and how many people lost their minds. And it was a pretty clear depiction of it. And talking about, it was showing people getting kicked out of stores, people calling the cops on them, they wouldn't wear their mask. And it was almost too soon, but the movie was very disturbing to the point where you looked at it and you went, gosh, that was a harsh reminder.
Yeah, I tried to see it this week. It was gone already.
It's already gone, yeah.
And by the way, Jeffrey Epstein's victims are ripping the FBI and the DOJ handling of the case, claiming that wealthy men are being protected who are pedophiles.
I can't argue with that.
And that's an absolute fact. It says two victims of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring blasted the Trump administration over the notorious case Monday, with one accusing the Justice Department of prioritizing protection of the pedophile's friends, rich friends, over the women he abused. I'm not sure the highest priority here is the victims. Justice for the victims on combating child exploitation, read one of the two letters submitted to Manhattan federal court. Rather, I feel like the DOJ and the FBI's priority is protecting the third party, the wealthy men, by focusing on scrubbing their names off the files. The second letter slammed the feds for meeting last month with Epstein's convicted accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, who's now been sent to a minimum security prison after she met, who was subsequently rewarded with a prison transfer 1 week after the shocking meeting. Two judges are now weighing the government's bid to unseal transcripts of testimony by law enforcement agents before grand juries who handed up indictments of Epstein and Maxwell in 2019 and 2020. In other words, let's see the transcripts.
Yeah.
Let's see the testimonies. See if there's anything really here. The DOJ has promised to redact the filings to protect victims, but one of the victims who wrote to the U.S. District Judge Brennan asked for their lawyer to review any suggested redactions before they are made public. They are the ones who also know the victims, their names, the truth, and their stories, unlike the United States government, who did not and does not even care to know our truth, the letter read. That they would rather ask a convicted pedophile and prison sex trafficker abuser for information, the victim added, referring to Maxwell. The same victim described feeling disdain and disgust and fear at the administration's response to the Epstein saga. I wish you would have handled and would handle the whole Epstein files with more respect towards the victims, the letter said. I am not a pawn in your political warfare. That's really said well. Oh, by the way, Pam Bondi's looking really old. She's really stressed out. There's a bad picture of her here. What you have done and continue to do is eating at me day after day as you help perpetuate the story indefinitely. The victim who accused the administration of shielding Epstein's circle of wealthy men from scrutiny requested Berman to have an approved third party review these documents and ensure that no victims' names or likenesses are revealed through this release. It's imperative with the scrutiny of this media frenzy that victims are completely, entirely protected. In February, Attorney General Pam Bondi hyped up the release of a cache of Epstein documents that she suggests would reveal juicy details of notorious financiers' sickening crimes, and we are still waiting, because later she backtracked, saying that no further disclosure would be warranted after the FBI and DOJ released the July 6th memo stating that Epstein killed himself on August 10th, 2019, while awaiting federal trial, and did not keep a client list of associates who abused the girls as young as 14. This is unbelievable, Austin. We stop and think of this.
Well, no, they want to play this game. Oh, well, we're doing this to protect the victims. We're doing it. Okay, well, this has been going on now for decades.
And they're doing it to protect the assailants.
That's exactly right. And the victims here point this out. Is, I mean, if you cared about everybody so much, why is it that you're doing everything you can to protect the people involved that did it? I mean, they know the information. And Pam Bondi, she got way overhead with this. I think they played her personally. I don't think she completely knew what she was getting involved in. That's why she said, I've got the files on my desk. I've got the list on my desk.
Yeah, she's really aging quickly with cortisol.
And I've heard this before from people that went to Washington, is that everything up there is so convoluted and so corrupt that it's very easy to lose your way, and it's very difficult to keep your way up there. Because everything is so compromised and everything is manipulation. Everything. I'm going to repeat that. Everything is manipulation in Washington. All they try to do is manipulate each other.
Well, yeah, AIPAC should be a foreign government.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're not registered as that. It's nuts to me.
No, and the crazy part about it is all these lobbying groups. And the thing about it is, if we had term limits, like for 4 years for Congress and 1 year for senators, it'd stop a lot of this.
The problem is, the only way to get that pushed through is Congress has to vote on that.
They won't do it.
And Congress is never going to vote on that, because they want their free health care forever. They want their free Secret Service security forever. They want their free everything that they can get forever. But they can vote themselves pay raises.
Without asking
anyone. They can vote themselves to be left out of Obamacare mandate, which they did.
They vote themselves their own health care program.
Yeah, so it's like you get them in there, and majority of people, they just get corrupted.
They can vote themselves after 2 years. They get $176,000 a year in retirement.
For the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Rest of their life.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, by the way, remember a couple of years ago I was talking about how American Airlines was basically using AI to determine flight costs?
Yeah.
It's coming out now.
There you go.
We called it. Hey, who gets cheap flights and hotel upgrades? AI will decide.
Whoa.
When Jason Kao started traveling regularly, Delta Airlines was the easiest option. For the past 10 years or so, Kao has flown out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport, where Delta has plenty of flight options. The rewards started piling up as he transfers the country for work as a cybersecurity advisor. But now that Delta is increasing its use of AI in its dynamic pricing model, they're calling it a dynamic pricing model, he says Kao's loyalty is wavering. When the prices potentially may be a lot higher because of using AI to set prices, A may not be getting as good a deal, Kao said, noting that we can start earning similar loyalty perks with other airlines. Is there much more reason for me to stay loyal to Delta? He said his doubts arrived after Delta President Glenn Hauenstein said on his earnings call in July that he wants the airline to increase AI-based pricing in nearly 20% of domestic flights, up from the current percent. Domestic senators voiced their concerns to the letter to Delta and asked for clarity about how AI is used. Okay, I'm going to explain to you how AI is used.
Wild.
Now, it's going to go back into the Internet of Things, okay? If you have an iPad that basically is listening to you and you haven't turned that off, or you have a cell phone that is turned off, by the way, and is listening to you if you don't have it turned off, and or you have a refrigerator that is listening to you and that's not been turned off, or you have a bed that you have bought that is listening to you, okay? I'm just letting you know this. What happens is it creates a giant web of information that is constantly feeding an AI. Now, this AI basically goes into some big data center and it starts logging in data points about you. So you say to your spouse, and you're laying in bed one night and your mattress is listening to you, oh, I think we want to go to Germany next month. All of a sudden, the AI goes, oh, these two want to go to Germany next month. That's interesting. Contact Delta. Contact America. Find out who they have loyalty points with. You go, wait a minute. It could do that. Okay, well, what day do you want to go? Well, we're going to go the 2nd to the 20th. Okay, 2nd to the 20th. Okay, check the flights on the 2nd to the 20th. So now here you go. You call up. Well, you've already been pre-screened. Now your phone is getting you all kinds of information. You're getting getting flight information on your telephone.
Yep.
Don't say it's not true, because I've had it happen to me. You look up Breitling watches, and also you start getting Breitling. You basically say, I want to get a Breitling watch, and now you're
inundated with ads.
No.
On it. I know if your microphone's
on. So you say, well, see, remember, it's the Internet of Things. Everything's going to have an IP address, and everything's listening to you all the time. And you're like, oh, it can't be that bad. All right. You know, God's not genocide either. Just keep believing that, too. And the crazy part about all of it is that you then go and you call up American Airlines, and they go, oh, we heard about you from AI. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on, but the prices were like $500 yesterday, but they're like $4,000 now.
There's no upgrades.
And there are no upgrades available. You're going to fly coach. Oh, well, it was 50,000 points to fly to Europe round trip, but now it's 500,000 points. You're like, whoa, stop. And you're like, yeah, but if you don't get it right now and you call back tomorrow, guess what? It's going up again.
It's
going
to be 1,000,000 points. 1,000,000 points.
And they say, because we've already checked how many points you've got,
yep,
and how much you can pay. You say, well, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, this
I've already had it happen to me.
Two weeks ago, Marriott revealed that AI has taken full control of all room upgrades. Algorithms decide if you deserve a suite. Now, what's interesting about this, we've used Marriott Bonvoy for years, back before Marriott was even a thing. And we've used them, and we've gotten points and stuff to get upgrades. But Marriott was revealed now that they're turning their elite member upgrades over to artificial intelligence. The new automated complimentary upgrade system rolled out last week. Instead of hotel room controller being able to upgrade the day before or on check-in day, an algorithm does, and the room controller signs off on the list. What's crazy here, now look at this. 5 days prior to arrival, the system begins checking availability.
Told you.
For addition, Ritz-Carlton, St. Regis, like real nice hotels, 3 days prior for availability. Now, what's interesting about this is it goes into detail. Listen to this, what it says right here. It's especially interesting that the process runs what appears to be the same inventory as nightly upgrade awards. Remember that not all rooms are made available for upgrades. Only room Marriott expects not to sell. So it goes on to say here that if a suite is available for sale and ready for time of check-in, Marriott no longer has to give it to you. Some hotels are now leaving suites not fully clean, marked, and ready until someone books them for cash in order to avoid offering them as an upgrade.
You know, they just said the rooms aren't ready. You can't have them.
But they are ready.
But they are ready.
And so until you pay in cash, it means if you book it on points, the room is never ready. It will not show that it's available or it's ever available on their docket. As soon as you come in and say, I need to book a room cash.
That way, in case somebody in the front desk wants to upgrade you, they can't
do it anymore.
Send me that link.
Yeah, they can't do it anymore.
Now, that's frustrating.
That's very frustrating, I mean, especially for people that have used this for years. They've enjoyed certain perks because there's a lot of places you can get stuff like that. And I've stayed at multiple Marriotts that are pretty nice.
Starwood used to call it the platinum lifestyle.
Right, and then Marriott bought Starwood.
And because what they said is that, you know, you get a hotel. Well, first of all, there's no hotel room that's worth $1,000 a night.
Yeah. So some of those crazy ones, $4,000 or $5,000 a night.
Nothing's worth. I would never pay that. But, you know, if you go to one of these places and you basically have upgrade awards and you upgrade to one of those rooms, I have to admit they're pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. We've had it happen a couple times.
But the reality is now they're saying they're not going to allow you to do it.
They're not going to do it anymore. It's done. They're not going to allow or offer upgrades anymore, period.
So they're not letting the front desk do it anymore.
So what they're doing is it's all AI controlled. So even
send me that link.
Even if there are rooms available, even if there's suites available, if you're booking on points, they're going to list it and say the room's not available. So that was only X amount of rooms that they're going to allow suite upgrades on.
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to massively decrease loyalty.
Oh, absolutely.
People go from Marriott to Hilton. They're going to leave.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, again, this goes back into the AI being able to become more efficient for the companies to restrict more and more behavior and basically control people's aspects of what they do, just like you said, with putting points on flights.
I had a friend the other day. They wanted to come from Europe.
Yeah.
Coach class, right? Points were $50,000 or $60,000 round trip.
And overall, that's pretty cheap. That's like $500, mm-hmm. $600.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times you fly over. It depends on what time of the day, what time of the night, what connections are. And then they looked the next day, and they weren't $50,000, but they were $100,000.
Yeah.
Well, they looked the next day, they were $160,000.
Yeah.
For the same flight.
Same flight.
They had tripled in price in 3 days.
3 days.
Because they kept looking at it. So AI thinks, oh, he's really thinking about this.
Well, it tracks all your cookies.
And one thing that I've seen, too, and I'm not saying that I'm accurate on this, but I saw it happen with me personally. If you give that rep a bad rep, which give a bad rating, and the AI sees, oh, he's upset now. Now, all of a sudden, next time you come in, they'll give you better rates.
They think, really?
Well, I had it happen already. Now, whether because I gave a bad review or not, I don't know. But I had a really bad agent. Because a lot of times, you know, your agents on American Airlines, and same thing with Marriott, are kind of like a box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump. You don't know what you're going to get. None of these flights are available. And you call back 10 minutes later, and they go, oh, yeah, we can find your flight. Here's a flight. A lot of it depends on how many years they've had and how they know how to manipulate the system. So be really careful. If you get an agent that's not working with you and doesn't want to help you, just call back. Say, I'll call you guys back later. Because I've learned that the hard way. You got it. The reps, the types of rooms that you get, the type of flights that you get are only as good as the rep. And apparently now, Austin, they want to get rid of that at all costs and stop that. I told you AI, I told you American Airlines was doing this, and now Marriott's doing it.
Well, what happens, I've had this happen before at hotels, where you book something that's cheap on points and you get the front desk, and you know somebody there, you've been there before, and you're like, hey, can I get an upgrade? They say, you know what, you've been here before. They'll look at it and say, hey, I got a room right here. I can hook you up with an upgrade. That is all being removed now from the personal standpoint one-on-one.
All the rooms are not ready.
All the rooms are out. They're going to literally say, there are no rooms available. There are no suites available. There's nothing available because you're booking on points. So AI will override what they're actually able to see, and it won't be available.
I think the hotel manager could probably still do something. The general manager. But I don't think the front desk will be able to anymore.
I don't know.
But you have to know the hotel manager to get that done.
Correct. So again,
listen, that's a shame because that was a very nice perk with Marriott and formerly, you know, with Starwood.
Yeah. And it's, what's funny is they said this started in middle of July now. So it's been going on for about a month as far as when this actually.
Well, I haven't booked any flights or any rooms in the last month. So I'll see what happens next time.
No, they're definitely doing it. They're absolutely doing it. And so, again, this is just one of those things where AI, and here's the problem you have with this whole system with AI. This isn't going to get better. AI is going to start getting so embedded in everyone's daily lives that, again, when we talked about, people aren't even going to be able to do the normal tasks they used to do a few years back. We talked about this as far as the debt you're paying with AI on how most of the time now, and I've fallen prey to this, you forget how to go somewhere on a trip. You're going on a road trip. You've been there multiple times. All of a sudden, you're going, which exit is it? Which one am I taking?
I've done it.
You click in GPS, but you've been there multiple times. And if you really had to and you didn't have GPS, you'd probably still figure out how to get there because you dig in that part of your brain. But now so many people are so used to it, they can't even go on a 30-minute trip without clicking in GPS. Or you get conditioned to it. I've done this in Florida. You click on your GPS, see how the traffic is. Because you go to Orlando, it might be a 20-minute drive. It might be a 2-hour drive. Who knows? It just depends where it is. And so you click on your GPS, and sure enough, after a while, you do it enough, you're constantly clicking your GPS just to go to places you've been to a dozen times. And I mean, it happened to you with Tampa the other day.
Yeah, at the mall over there. I couldn't find it.
In that article I brought up, it talked about people that were writing pure articles, papers that were running straight off the top of their head. And then it did one that people write in AI, and it said like 96% of the people that wrote the AI articles, they could not recall a single sentence from the AI paper that they turned in. No idea. Couldn't even remember it after they turned it in. Nothing about it at all. That's the problem.
Well, that tells you that you're not learning anything.
No, you have no memory recall at all. And so what's the point of writing these papers then?
Well, you got an essay to do. You're supposed to learn something from it.
Something. Yeah. Something. And so, I mean, that's the thing, like we do on this show. I don't bring up any AI stuff on. I constantly do research and searching and everything else, all the platforms I know, people that I know. And I get some great emails from you guys, too. Sometimes you guys send me some pretty cool articles.
Yep. A lot of times they share good articles with me, too. But anyhow, so the AI system is going to be here, whether we want it to be or not, because it's already here.
Yeah.
We've been warning about it for the past 10 years, and now it's really being implemented everywhere, including messing up everybody's hotel loyalty points. But what will happen is this. Enough people who basically are titanium with Marriott are going to start pitching fits, and they're going to start going to other hotels, and the AI will go, oopsie.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to help this person out because they're not going to be, you know, using their credit card to get points anymore. And but that will take a while before that happens, because what they'll do first, these AIs were programmed by bean counters.
Right. They'll throw up a bone sometimes, what's going
to
happen.
Okay. And now what I mean by bean counters is everybody's got to have a certain margin on certain things. In other words, if it doesn't make any difference whether it's going to inconvenience anybody, we got to make our 18% on this room.
Right.
And if we're only making 17% or we give them a suite,
we
won't do it. And because that's the problem when you take the personal touch out of it. Then you no longer have a relationship with the person who's been doing business with you for 20 years.
Yeah.
Because now AI kicked it out and said, not available.
Well, we've run into this problem before in the past with certain manufacturing companies and certain companies we've worked with, where suddenly they start catering to certain groups or they start running AI, and all of a sudden they come in and say, prices have to go up now. So no, raw materials didn't go up on this specific item. I know it didn't go up. I know multiple contractors, the price didn't go up. Well, that's the number we have to meet now. This is the price we have to meet. But that's not where it has to go. Well, that's a chart. That's the number. I mean, and that's where you start seeing this happen all the time now. And I remember I'm sure now the dealerships are really bad about it, because they used to be now.
Well, Lexus won't even tell you, the one I visited won't even tell you what the suggested retail price on the car.
No, I saw that too. Yeah,
they don't
even list it on the car.
No,
this is the market value price.
Yeah,
they hide the MSRP and give you a new price with the addendum on it.
They throw another $10,000 on it. You're sitting here going, but what's the price? This is the price.
By the way, we're in 2025. Do not buy a single vehicle with an addendum on it unless you're buying some type of crazy, crazy, crazy limited production car. But that's still a rarity on it. These vehicles that are standard production vehicles that they make tens of thousands of on a regular basis, you should absolutely begin a significant discount off MSRP, taking all the money back out, possibly even going into holdback if you have a good dealership.
Holdback's money, that's like 3% they have for advertising.
Right. They have that on the backside if they get after selling it. Because these dealerships now, they've got incredibly greedy.
That's because of COVID. We all had a shortage.
Still trying to go in and trying to get addendums on certain vehicles. Like I said, unless it's some really, really rare vehicle, which those are far and few between, don't be paying addendums on anything right now.
Absolutely not.
Especially pickup trucks.
If you want to know something that'll really get you dividends, it's having a relationship with Christ.
That's a good segue.
Because, you know, when you have a relationship with God, you know, we're all going to be here for a little while. You know, I had a friend I talked to the other day, and they work at a nursing home.
Yeah.
And they said, it's awful. Ugh. And I said, well, nobody wants to get old.
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants to get old. Nobody really wants to die. Everybody wants to kind of stay here. I mean, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And the reality is that, you know, if you eat clean and you do the right things with your body, you get dividends with that too, and you live longer and you stay healthy while you're here.
Yeah.
The same thing is true. Zig Ziglar used to say it this way. If you know who Jesus is and you accept him as your Lord and your Savior, it'll help you stay in a better mindset while you're here on this planet. And it'll keep the heat off later, too.
That's exactly right.
Unless you bring the asbestos underwear, I guess.
Make sure you guys double-check the zinc glycinate. We talked about it in detail last week and what it does for the immune system. Excuse me, yesterday about the immune system. It's on sale one final day as product of the week. 20% off right now at Team Health Masters and healthmasters.com. Take advantage of it. Stock up on it if you need it. Appreciate you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
I love you guys. So thank you so much for your support. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. We'll